Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bowes Public Affairs Group at Bowes, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for joining us this week. On today's podcast, we'll hear from Midwest Hemp Council President and Vice President of Bowes Public Affairs Group of Council at Bowes, McKinney & Evans, Justin Swanson. Justin will talk about hemp-related bills in the 2020 Indiana General Assembly, as well as hemp regulation updates and hemp licensing. So let's get right to it. Justin, thanks for joining us this week. Hope your holidays went well.
Thank you, Jason. It's great to be here, and you as well.
Absolutely. Now, let's get right into it. We usually, when we get you on here, Justin, we like to talk a lot of legislative things, laws, issues like that, all kinds of boring stuff that you seem to have a knack for making non-boring. So let's see if we can hold up that this week.
All right. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, we've got the 2020 Indiana General Assembly session is, they're in session right now. Give us kind of an overview of that, maybe a macro view of what that means for Indiana hemp.
Sure. So the 2020 session, just to give everyone, our listeners who may not be familiar with Indiana, the legislative cycle, every odd year is a budget year, which we refer to here in Indiana as a long session. Mm-hmm. And then every even year, which is 2020, which is obviously an even year, is what we refer to as a short session. Historically, short sessions were reserved solely for kind of emergency cleanup bills or emergency situations. It really was never intended to be kind of a full-blown session. Mm-hmm. But over the years, that's kind of what we have now is Indiana kind of jam-packs a full session into a short session now. So things move very, very quickly this year. And this year in particular is even faster because leadership announced that they're going to be done by March 11th this year. Typically, they'd have three more days and get out on March 14th. Luckily for everybody, the NCAA basketball tournament's coming into town in Indianapolis, and they run out of hotel rooms. So, okay.
Does the short session on the even years, does that have anything to do with the election cycle?
It very well could. I don't know if there's any evidence of that, but it might be a coincidence.
But we do know that the length of the session can be determined by the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, only in Indiana, right?
There we go. So what are we looking at for this session?
So just in general, I think it's always really helpful, one, for everyone to remember that Indiana is a part-time civil legislature. So this is not, being a legislator is not their full-time job. Mm-hmm. And there's pros and cons with that. I personally think it's the best system you can have because it allows you to get people into the state house who have real life experience, in a particular sector and expertise, and provide input on how to make it better or how to fix certain issues. Mm-hmm. So I just like to remind people that is don't assume if you are talking to a legislator about hemp or any other issue, don't assume they know the issue and don't assume that they're a monster, an enemy, look at them like a person try to engage them and offer them, accurate information.
Right.
So from kind of a macro level view, I think the two strongest themes this session are, education and, healthcare, mitigating, healthcare costs. So trying to lower the cost of healthcare here in Indiana. Those are probably the two main themes that have dominated the session so far. And session just started this Monday. And again, we'll go through March 11th. And real quick, Jason, the bill filing deadline, so when legislators have to, submit their bills, is actually today.
Oh, okay. So you'll know after today then everything that's been submitted.
Yeah. Sometime early next week, they'll finally roll out when we know our true legislative landscape. Mm-hmm. There have already been a handful of bills filed on hemp and marijuana this year. We are still waiting on, I believe, Representative Chris Judy out of Northeast Indiana is going to have a fantastic bill for the industry here in Indiana that has not dropped yet. And I believe Representative Eberhardt is going to have a bill that deals with craft hemp flower. So we might have an opportunity as a state to be the first state in the country that places common sense regulations around the sale and possession of craft hemp flower.
And those bills, they would have to enter those today, correct?
Yeah, but sometimes it takes a couple days. Like, you have to do some formal things. So, you know, there's a backlog or a delay. So when it finally hits the system, it'll probably be sometime early to late next week.
Oh, okay. And can you dig into those a little bit and tell us what that would mean? Should those or what they will be presented as?
Yeah. So Representative Judy has done a great job, and maybe some of our listeners remember or not, but Congressman Baird and Senator Braun submitted a letter to USDA Secretary Perdue asking to raise for basically four things. The biggest being, you know, extending the harvest deadline. 15 days is unworkable, as most farmers know in the hemp world. But also, more importantly, raising the limit to 1% THC. And whether that's total THC or Delta 9 only, I think it's a big win either way. And I think it's a little easier to swallow, especially here in Indiana, if you're asking for total THC. Mm-hmm. It just further helps, I think, address some concerns from around the state.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Justin. Go ahead and explain what you mean by down to 1% or up to 1%.
So right now in Indiana law, it says that basically hemp, the difference between hemp and marijuana is based on the THC concentration of the plant. So anything above, anything above 0.3% THC is considered marijuana, and anything below is considered hemp. And the issue is, we really want our farmers to be successful here in Indiana. Hemp is obviously a new crop. There's not a whole lot known about how to harvest it or grow it properly on a consistent basis. And our number one goal here in Indiana is to put our farmers in a position to be successful. And the best way to do that is to allow them to take their crop to a processor or the end user that's going to either remediate, remediate the THC out of it. And again, it allows them to save the crop instead of just having to burn it.
Sure.
So the 1% really won. It allows for more discovery in the genetic side of things. And also it provides kind of almost a more appropriate safe harbor for farmers who are putting a lot on the line already.
And why not 2%? What's our difference there between 1% and 3%? Obviously, we do not want it at 3%, correct? Or is 3% the threshold? And can it be 3% or below? Or again, how does that seems like a very, very fine number there.
Yeah. And to be totally clear, all these numbers are purely arbitrary, right? Mm-hmm. There's no scientific evidence behind 0.3% THC being psychoactive. And that's really the concern, is making sure that farmers aren't producing a psychoactive product.
Sure.
Or what we'd like to see is making sure no psychoactive products hit the market. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a nuanced stance. But again, it's allowing the farmer to be successful and trust our processes here in the state to process this stuff down into a legal product before it hits the market for consumers.
And how do we get to the point where they are able to consistently test the plant?
That's a huge issue in the industry, not just in Indiana, but nationwide. Testing consistency is inconsistent, I guess. And USDA in their interim final rule recognizes that and allows for what they refer to as a measurement of uncertainty, which is, you know, a fancy word for saying, yeah, it's a, you know, here's the error rate, right? Here's where you can be test result wise, and it's a range.
Mm-hmm.
So there's recognition of that, and all this stuff is just going to take time. It's not like the answer is unknowable. It's just we need basically to get the government out of the way and let the industry and private companies and private industries figure this stuff out.
Well, that would be the same for almost any industry.
Yeah, right.
Certainly.
Yeah, it's no different.
And Justin, let me ask you this, to kind of get into the weeds here a little bit, I guess. If you, let's say your crop is, registers at 3%, when you cut that plant down, does that percentage over time deteriorate, or does that stay at a solid, let's say 3%, or solid whatever it was tested at while the plant was alive?
That's a great question. And just to clarify, the legal threshold is 0.3%.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
No, it's okay. Just to clarify. And so what you do, you know, obviously it's a game of chicken, if particularly for the CBD guys, the CBD farmers, it's a game of chicken. You want to leave it in as long as you can to get it to maturity and get your CBD levels up, but you're also risking going above your allowable THC limit.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, degradation is a huge issue. So when you harvest and you know, dry it, you have degradation, you know, you lose terpenes, you lose your cannabinoid content, and it can possibly be reduced further after you harvest. So that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. So that sounds like, now would that hurt the CBD crops to let it deteriorate like that versus the fiber crops?
Yeah, I mean, fiber, geez, it's like, what, you know, if it's not a consumable product, what,
right,
what are we really doing to the farmer here?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to smoke your rope or smoke your jeans or the Legos that they make out of that.
So, yeah, and I guess to real quick to circle back to Representative Judy's bill, I think you're going to see an idea of regulating based on the end use.
Mm-hmm.
And actually our regulations, which I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit, do that right now. So that's great to see that we've done a really good job, and our members have done a great job of educating, you know, policymakers, our regulators, on the differences, different varieties in why it matters in testing.
Mm-hmm. And what other kind of updates do we have coming out of this Indiana General Assembly, Justin?
Those are really the two biggest in terms of hemp. So I'm hoping we'll have, you know, one or maybe two bills passed this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our next Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee meeting, I believe next Friday, where I think they're going to unveil the regulations officially, and then take some feedback on them. And after that, it's really hitting the ground running for the 2020 session.
And so there is still time for folks to submit comments.
Absolutely. And I apologize, I don't remember off the top of my head, but the deadline is now sometime in January.
I believe, did I see January 17th?
That might be right.
And I suppose, like we advise everybody to do, I could just go to the Midwest Hemp Council website and look at that. And yes, indeed, let's see. I believe that is the 17th. So, and if that is wrong,
go to the website
and check that out. There we go. Justin, any other updates or anything else that we need to hit on this week?
I think that does it for me, Jason.
All right. Well, again, we certainly do appreciate you joining us this week, Justin. Justin Swanson, the Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose, McKinney & Evans. Justin, also the Midwest Hemp Council President, co-founder. And we I know we've got some great events coming up here soon, you know, to kick off the winter, kick off 2020. So we certainly hope to see everybody out there, and certainly hope and you know, get a chance to meet Justin, talk with Justin and all of the folks out there that are here to help.
Yeah, and if you live in Indiana, I'd really encourage you to reach out to your legislators and let them know, you know, if you grew hemp, if you're investing in hemp, if you're, you know, open a storefront, or you're hiring people, let them know your story and the efforts you're taking and the economic impact the industry is having in their district.
All right. Once again, Justin Swanson. Justin, thanks so much. And again, a lot coming up around the corner here, so we'll get you back on and get those updates.
Thanks a lot, Jason.
All right, thanks, Justin. And that is going to do it for our show this week. Thanks for listening to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as our entire catalog of podcasts, on our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend. And we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.